Помощь не она примерно для всех, я нам дана человека, та смай шли к проведу. Свитай коням нам обещан, став там, где мы будем своим Богом, когда они не тратили свои таланты. Там, где мы шли в Бог, шли в Тепан, шли в Бог, шли в Бог, шли в Бог, там, где мы там, где мы там, где там, где там, где там, Krishna Chaitanya Deva, Sri Radha Krishna Radha, Sahagana Kalita, Sri Krishna Kanta. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Vandu Jarakpati, Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaste. Tatta Kanchana Goram Nira Devi Dharani Shri Shalom Shri Devi Shri 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 Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaurava Sarvinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishna Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Swami Sri Saraswati Devi Gaurava Pachayana Nirvishesha Srinivasa Paschatya Desha against the teachings of devotional service enunciated by Srila Rupa Goswami. His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki
jai.
The sunrise and the sunset, both are beautiful. Similarly, both the appearance and the disappearance of Vaishnava beautiful. So there is no cause of lamentation. These are the words spoken by our Srila Prabhupada when he observed Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disappearance in Surat along with his disciples when they first arrived in India. As Abhay Charan, he said, here is the right person who can take up Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission and now it will be distributed. So, our Prabhupada used to be the leader amongst his group of friends and as we all know, he was dragged to meet Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And then later on he was asked opinion and this was the opinion he gave. Here is the right person who has taken up Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message and now it will be distributed. Shri Shri Siddhanta Sarasvati Sachi Sutta Priya Dati Krishna Sevya Jara Kuranai Se Se Mohanta Guru Jagatere Madhya Guru Krishna Bhakti Deya Thai Thai Tara Hicca Balavan Parshya Ite Tanta Oye Jati Gauram Giranai Prithvithe Nagaradi Asa Mutra Nadi Nadi Sakale Pore Krishna Dham. This is a song written by Srila Prabhupada himself. It begins with Krishna Dava Punya Haleva, where he glorifies Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. So the translation goes like this. Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is very dear to Lord Gauranga, the son of Mother Sachi, is unparalleled in his service to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. He is the great saintly spiritual master, Seise Mahanta Guru, most magnanimous within this universe, who bestows devotion to Krishna in various places. So Krishna Bhakti, Deya, Tarita, in various places throughout the world. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is giving the mercy of Lord Gauranga. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's desire is very powerful, and thus he is causing the holy name of Lord Gauranga to spread throughout all countries of the Western world. In all the cities and towns and villages on the earth, extending to all oceans, rivers and streams, everyone may chant the names of Krishna and Rama. Prithvithe Nagaradi Asamudra Nada Nadi. So these are the words of glorification our Prabhupada offers to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Even from his young age, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur showed signs of a sadhu. The signs within the physical body manifested through parts like the nose, arms, chin, eyes and the knees. And also fingertips, teeth, different descriptions are there. And these signs were present even when he was a young boy. And we also know that he was born with a umbilical cord across his body, indicating his divine appearance. So these great souls do not, they are not forced to enter this material world just like us. Bhagavatam describes karmanata yuvanetvena jantut deho upateya, under the supervision of the divine, the living entity is forced to enter into the semen of the male and then takes birth in the womb of the mother. These are exalted personalities. They are reputed by the Lord to come to this world for a specific purpose, and that's why we call their birth and death as appearance and disappearance. They live forever. And as Prabhupada already told, appearance and disappearance are the same. Just for the sun, the sun appears to arise and set, but it is for our vision. The sun is always present. Bhaktivinoda Thakur trained Vimal Prasad. Everyone of that name. Initially was given to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He trained Vimal Prasad, and their house was known as Bhakti Bhavan. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was publishing Sajjana Toshini at that time, so at that time he was engaging Vimala in all the aspects of printing, publishing, editing, proofreading, typesetting, and even operating the machines. So Vimala learned the mechanics of the press, and he had a detailed knowledge of all the components and could diagnose and repair any equipment that's not functioning. So that training was given to him right from the young age. So it is imperative for us to get the necessary skills and knowledge that is required for us to propagate the Sankirtan movement, and that's how Bhaktivinoda Thakur is sowing the seed of making sure that the publications which were there in the leaves and various forms and manuscripts has to be taken into, put into print. And he had that vision, and he's starting to train Bimal Prasad. He also gave some translation work to his son so that he can also get a cue with the language of Sanskrit, for which Bimal Prasad was sent to the college where he learned the Sanskrit and the different angas of the Vedic knowledge Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur picked up, which includes pronunciation, then which is the siksha, procedures for performing various activities, which is the kalpa, then the grammar, vyakarana, then the word meanings, nirukta, the meter, chanda, and one which is famous, he is known for the astrology and astronomy, jyotisha. So his teachers, actually seeing Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's great knowledge in astrology and astronomy, after he translated the two major works, Surya Siddhanta and the other major work, due to that he was given this title, Sri Siddhanta Saraswati. So that's when Bimal Prasad becomes Sri Siddhanta Saraswati, and he got the title when he was just 15 years old. In his young age, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur did not show much eagerness in the worldly activities. He was more towards reading devotional scriptures and even going to the college and doing all those activities. He was more into the spiritual side. There's an interesting incident that at home, and sometimes he would pretend to do the homework, but he would keep the devotional literature below his desk and keep reading them. And one time his relative found out and then started to chastise. But although he seemed to be not studying so much, but he came out in good colors and he was able to achieve which others could not achieve in many years. And that's why sometimes when he learned all the vyakarana, nirukta and all that quickly, chanda, teacher was surprised that, oh, you should be practicing this more. But he became expert at it, and he didn't feel the need to practice that more. But internally he was reading the works which his father is publishing, and some of the confidential literatures he did not want to translate, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur did not want Gita, Govinda and other works to be published, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur felt that it would be misused by people. So externally he was going, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was going to college and all that, but internally he was cultivating this mood of strong devotion, and his father also made him to chant. He gave him the Kurma Shila to worship, and then he gave Kurma Mantra and the Narasimha Mantra also. Now one may think that because he's got too much into spirituality, he would not mingle with the common men when he was in the college. But contrary to that, He was dressed like a young sophisticate, with a white dhoti and nice garments in his upper body, and wearing a chadar in the winter. And he will mingle with the students, he will mingle with the Englishmen and others who come to the Bhakti Bhavan, that's their home. And during the college breaks, he will discuss with them informally about religion, about politics, about current affairs and similar topics. So he did not want to be totally away from the society. He was willing to mingle with them. And his courage was so much that if some of the Western professors were trying to put down the Hindu religion and trying to say that Christianity is better, that he would not tolerate that. He would not tolerate any conclusion which is against the Shastras, and he would boldly tell them that it's wrong. So he has got this bodily features and he has got this scholarly aptitude, and is now guided by his father also. And this is a stage where Bhaktivinoda Thakur asks him to go and take diksha from. Who did he take diksha from? So if you see the contrast here, here is a very scholarly person, born in a family of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, knowing all the skills to debate, Vyakarana, grammar, Nirukta, Jyotisha, and he is given the title. But then he is going, he is asked to get diksha from Srila Gaura Kishwara Swabhavi. Externally, who looks in simple clothing, not an erudite scholar, but still Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted him to get diksha from Gaura Kishwara Swabhavi. So as we all know, many times Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur approached his guru and asked for diksha, and Gaura Kishwara Swabhavi rejected, saying, once my disciple came and then he cheated me, so I won't give diksha to anybody. But Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur insisted and went several times, and then he got turned away saying, oh, I'll ask Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu tells me I'll give it. Then next time Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati goes and asks, did you ask Mahaprabhu? No, I forgot about it. I didn't ask. Then the third time, did you ask? I asked, but Mahaprabhu said no. So at that time, he was so devastated that he started to plead, and his Gurudev Vipabindudhya and so on, where he says, if you don't show me mercy, I won't live. So these are the words from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur himself. This is his recollection of that incident. When out of false ego I was thinking, I am a great scholar of mathematics and philosophy. Let any big pandit come at any time, day or night, I will cut his proposition to pieces. At that time, I got the darshan of the lotus feet of Sri Gurudeva. He ignored everything that was previously appreciated in me. My truthfulness, my moral, pious life, my intellectualism, knowing them to be of little value. When I saw that he ignored whatever was good in me, I realized how good he himself must be, who could neglect so many of those good qualities in me. What inconceivable wealth he possessed. So this was the time when, knowing the popularity of Siddhanta Saraswati, many others were wanting him to become their disciple. And sensing that Siddhanta Saraswati did not want that, and he approached Gauranga Sutta's already end. After rejections several times and after persisting, then he was given the shelter of Srila Gauranga Sutta's Babaji. So we continue with the reflection of Bhaktisiddhanta. I had considered my Gurudeva to be unequaled in Vairagya, but somewhat short of learning. But he reduced to powder my audacity born of book learning. With the mallet of his mercy, he revealed that whatever I had adjudged to be highest ideal was in fact most low and despicable. When by his grace that instruction first entered my ears, my diminutive brain lacked the capacity to accommodate such transcendental knowledge. But to all fools like me, he gave a chance to hear such lofty topics. So this is the conception of how Bhaktisiddhanta viewed his Guru Maharaj and how his vision attitude changed. Then he gets a rare blessing which normally others don't get. So Gauranga's Babaji would not allow anybody to touch his feet. But at one instance, he himself voluntarily placed his feet on the head of Bhaktisiddhanta and gave him the order. Preach the absolute truth, keeping aside all other activities. So this was the a great blessing Bhaktisiddhanta gets. And he gets the instruction. So this is a reflection by Bhaktisiddhanta. My Gurudev mercifully told me, reject your knowledge, purity, aristocracy and come close to me. Don't go anywhere. Whatever you require, as many rooms, houses, palaces and mansions, as much scholarship, skills, self-control, pronunciation, you will get. Simply come close to me. Then Gauranga Sutta's Babaji is describing the attitude of an attached person. Let there be a house, let there be an entrance, and let there be some learning. He says, do not be enamored by this type of thinking. Do not consider as necessities that which an ordinary person may accept as such. So the essence of this is first you get the instruction that preach the absolute truth, keep aside all the other activities. Second is, come close to me means here it's not about physical proximity, as later on in the, because the things I'm reading from is the Bhaktisiddhanta Vani Vaibhav, where Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati did not always stay very in close proximity with his Gurudev. After getting instructions, he goes to the other side of the river and starts the actual work. So, when Gauranga Sutta's Babaji is saying, come close to me, it's the instructions. And then he says, don't go anywhere and whatever you require. So, as we know that in future, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is going to start Gaudiya Math, which is going to expand, and where he is going to buy big houses, palaces and mansions. And here his Guru is giving this benediction that you come close to me, preach the absolute truth, keep aside all other activities, whatever you require will come to you. Scholarship, self-control. Simply come close to me. So This is the power of the blessings of the spiritual master, and we can see this parallel to how when our Prabhupada, as Abhacharan, was entering the room to meet Bhaktisiddhanta for the first time, straight away he and his friend gets the instruction that you are well versed in English, but you reach the knowledge, teachings of Lord Chaitanya in the Western world. And later on, it became true. So, we can see that the spiritual master is able to see the present and also the future, and they are able to give the potency to their instruction and empower their disciples. So, Gaurav Kishwara Prabhupada also gave three more instructions which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur may seem to have disobeyed. So let's see what that is. This is spoken by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati himself during the disappearance in the Samadhi of Gaurav Kishwara Prabhupada on the 29th of March 1933. That time, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati reveals three instructions which his Guru Maharaj gave. First one, not to make any disciples. First instruction. Second, not to associate with anyone. Third, not to go to the world of Maya, which means Kalpaka. So in that talk, Bhaktisiddhanta affirmed that how he followed and how he did not follow. For the first one, Bhaktisiddhanta said, he did not make disciples. Those who considered themselves as his disciples were in fact his gurus. For by observing their ideal inclination for Hari Seva, his own tendency for Seva increased. So, technically he did not make disciples, but he saw his disciples to be his guru. Second is, he did not associate with anyone. Association means to accept something from others, but he accepted only that which was given by his Guru Maharaj. So as the his famed guru, a lot of things came to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, but he did not accept all of them, but he took what is required. And whatever was given to him, he took that it's coming from his guru and used it in Krishna's service. He never went to Kolkata, so this is the third instruction. Don't go to the world of Maya, which for each other, though it refers to Kolkata itself, is as Maya. Consider Melbourne, Sydney, and so Bhaktisiddhanta never went to Kolkata, but he went only to the Gaudiya Mata, which, although situated in Kolkata, was actually Vaikuntha, without the dullness and the influence of Kali. So, this is how Bhaktisiddhanta fulfilled the initial instructions that he got. What was the instruction initially he got from his guru? Is preach the absolute truth, keeping aside all other activities. Although he may have seemed to be disobeying the later three instructions, but he is actually keeping the initial instructions that he got when Gaurav Kishwara Prabhupada put his feet on his head and gave him the instruction, preach the absolute truth. So, this point that we can understand is to understand the essence of the instruction and the principle, and then take into consideration what they actually intend to say And then follow that accordingly, and not to misinterpret and follow them word to word, or try to imitate them. Because Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was very much against people who were trying to imitate Gaurikshodas Bhavati, keeping a skull or staying in places like the toilet. And he was totally against it, and he said it is good to follow the mood of the spiritual teacher rather than imitating them. It is, one is Anukarana and then is Anusmarana. Forgot which one is which, but it's not to imitate what they're doing exactly, but to understand the mood and take the essence and implement it. And it's also interesting to note that he is getting, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is getting instructions from Bhaktivinoda Thakur also, and instructions from his Siksha, I mean Diksha group. So, some scenarios it seemed to be a bit contradicting when Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted him to go to Calcutta and print and publish books, whereas Gaurikshodha Bhavati did not want him to go. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur assured that wherever I am going, wherever the glories of the Lord is sung, that place becomes Vaikuntha, and there won't be any influence of Kali. And this is how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was able to manage kind of contradicting instructions from different authorities, and he did not he did not stop following instructions, saying that it's all contradicting, so I won't do either one of those. So he was able to get the essence and still follow it. Later on, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Gaurikshodha Bhavati leaves the world, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is seeing the good potential for preaching, and at that time only he takes his crucial decision of taking up sannyas order. So his father was not present physically, his Guru Maharaj was also not present physically, and there were no god brothers of his Guru Maharaj. So taking into consideration all this, keeping a picture of his Guru, he took sannyas. Again, this is not to be imitated, and it is a very rare exception, and he is such an exalted person. And before taking that, as you might know, he also took a vow to chant, I think, a million names of Krishna, Hare Krishna mantra. So he did that sitting in Navadvip. And while he was doing that, he was also engaging in printing books. He took up those major projects of printing books. And when he saw that there's a good potential for him to go out and preach, so that's when, for that purpose, he took the sannyas order. So in terms of printing books and the printing projects that he took up, the first big project was that to get the publications of his own father and running and going, which he started to continue with Sajjana Toshani. So Toshani means that which satisfies, and Sajjana means gentleman. So the topics of Krishna are the one which will satisfy the people in general, the gentleman. That's what Sajjana Toshani means. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati continued to write and publish. That's the first project. And the second one is the writings of the Goswamis and the literature which are very relevant from the Gaudiya Vaishnava point of view. He did not want them to be lost. In fact, some of them were, because when he tried approaching some of the Goswamis in the other temples about Srila Balveri Devotion's commentaries, they said it became too old and then it was put in the Yamuna river. So he did not want that to happen. So as a sense of urgency, he started to collect the teachings of the Goswamis and the literature very specific to Gaudiya Vaishnavism, and he started to put that into print. And for that purpose, he had to go to Kolkata, rent a place, and find a printing press. And at that time, for a sadhu to go to a place like Kolkata, buy a property and set up a printing press, and it was totally unheard of. And he broke that stereotype mentality for getting the publications of the Goswamis out, and that was his objective. And there was a period when the printing press, he was not able to sustain. That's when he decided to take printing orders from outsiders also. There was a time where they could not maintain the press, so then they started to get orders for outsiders to come and print their materials also. Then he was able to run the press and continue his publication. He was able to get enough Lakshmi to rent more properties and fight out some of the litigations that were there. So one major incident where the extent to which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati took the printing press and the respect that he gave, that was during the 1914. He called the printing press as the Bhagavata Yantra. So they had to move out from Krishnanagar to other places, and in one such time he installed the printing works in the Sachidananda Math, and the print, we were thought, okay, we were kept the printing press in a separate place, but he kept it right next to the side of the deities. So by that he is emphasizing that the Pancharatrika path, which is the Archana path, and the Bhagavata path, which is based on Shravanam Kirtana, which includes preaching. So he considered printing books and giving out also as a sign of Shravanam Kirtana, publishing Bhagavatam. So they had to be conducted simultaneously. So for that reason he kept the printing press close to the deities. These are his own words. The press building, the printing machine and the composing materials should not be considered mundane. Everything here, even the bricks and pillars, are aprakrita, non-different from Krishna. And as we all know, the concept of Brihat Mazanga, and he is a pioneer in taking up this concept of publishing books and sending it out, whereby the message will be spread not just in one room where the sound of Mazanga is restricted to one room, whereas when the books go out, it goes far and wide, and then the message is heard, and when a lot of people read the message and take it up, and that's when the message of Lord Chaitanya will be spread. So even when trying to print books, he did not want the bigger books to be given out for free. So he made sure that people pay the proper price for it. Whereas when it came for the periodicals, even when some of the members who were supposed to pay for it, when they defaulted, he did not insist so much on getting the money. He said that can be given. So with the bigger books, he wanted not to take them very lightly. So he wanted people to pay for it. But for the periodicals, he was willing to give them even when people did not pay for it. That's how the Brihat Mazanga section of the book talked about how he got the initial training by his father and the mood and the right content to publish, and when there was nobody to write, he himself stepped up, took up the role of the writer and used all the proficiency that he acquired along with the potency of the instructions by his Diksha and Siksha Guru to take it forward. And that's when the institution of Gaudiya Math also started to grow far and wide within India. And as the institution grew, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did not have enough time to personally for look at all the proofreading, but he still made sure that he spent some quality time there. He did not want to neglect that. And he also made more disciples, and as his mood is that he saw them as his own gurus. Now the expansion of Gaudiya Math is not without problems. So he describes that as a part of collecting funds from outside, his disciples had to mingle with the people who are materially minded, and slowly that mentality also creeped into the mud. And there was one section of his disciples who were like the go-getters and movers and shakers. So they go out, collect funds, and they meet the top people in the society, make them as members. And then there is another section of his disciples who were very strong in their sadhana and very proficient in the shastras, in their own bhajan. Then these two sections started to see each other looking down upon each other. The go-getters and the achievers were thinking that these people are just sitting in the mud and they were not doing much practical service, whereas those who were sitting in the mud and doing the sadhana and the readings and all that, they felt that these people are too worldly minded. And then so the division started to happen even when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was there. And during and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati sensed that, and towards the end also it was indicating, and in one of the crucial meeting with Abhay Charan Das in Radhakum, that's when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is talking to our Srila Prabhupada, and he's revealing his heart as to how earlier, when there was not much property, things were going okay, but now there's so much of property and there's a lot of internal rivalry among the disciples. And then that's when Bhaktisiddhanta said the famous word that open, show all the way. What does that mean?
There will be fire.
There will be fire in the mud. The fire of party interest will soon take over. And it was at that time that Bhaktisiddhanta gave this grave blessing and the instruction that if you ever get money, print books. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is sensing that he is going to wind up his pastimes. And in fact, while reading that section, Bhaktisiddhanta is saying, my lifespan is reduced seeing the conflict among my disciples. It has reduced up to 10 years. I wanted to do more, but seeing these party interests and conflicts among my disciples, he was so disgusted at the later stage. And he started to indicate that he is going to wind down his pastimes in several of his lectures. And he said that one has to give up his body or let this body as a sacrifice while doing or while propagating the Harikatha. And just to keep up the words, he himself had delivered a series of 16 lectures about the theism, the philosophy, and he himself showed by example. During the last days, he was afflicted with fever, and still he was asking his disciples, Kunjabi Hari Prabhu and other disciples, to continue the Harinam Sankirtan around him. That's when he gives a lot of instructions. Also, he is speaking in the mood of an exalted Uttama Adhikari, where he is even trying to say that, these are his own words, "I have upset many persons' minds. Many might have considered me their enemy because I was obliged to speak the plain truth of service and devotion towards the Absolute Godhead. I have given them all those troubles only so that they may turn their face towards the personality of Godhead." So this is his mood, and he is also giving instructions about how one has to continue despite challenges. "In this ephemeral sphere, you should live somehow or other only for Hari Bhajan. In spite of all dangers, criticisms and discomfort, do not give up Hari Bhajan. Don't be disappointed that most people in the world do not accept the topics of Krishna Seva. Don't forsake your own bhajan of Krishna Katha, Shravan and Kirtan, which is your all in all." We do not aspire to be any kind of heroes of karma or dharma, but our constitutional position and all in all is to, in every birth, become the dust at the feet of Srila Rupa Raghunath. There will be multiple inconveniences in this material domain. There is no need to be either overwhelmed by them or trying to overcome them. Rather, even during the duration of our life, one must be acquainted with what we shall gain by surpassing all those difficulties and only focus on our attachment to the feet of Radha and Krishna. So, in those last day's instruction, he also gives the important instruction about forming a governing body. And he mentions about how not to let one person manage the whole Gaudiya Math, but that the governing body has to be formed. And that's when he pinpoints each disciple and their own strengths, and how he wanted them to take on their mission. So despite the fact of his instructions, that we all know that the disciples later on did not follow what was told to them. So his health was deteriorating steadily, and on the 1st of January at about 5:20 a.m. Prabhananda Brahmachari was doing the night vigil, and he was handing over to Krishnananda Brahmachari. At that time Bhaktisiddhanta was whispering, "Who's there?" And then this disciple was replying, "It's me." "Oh, Prabhananda Prabhu." And Prabhupada Prabhu is asking, how are you feeling, Prabhupada? This is to Bhaktisiddhanta. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati murmured, "Oh Krishna, oh Krishna." Hardly had Prabhupada left the room when he was called back by Krishnananda Prabhu. "Prabhupada, come quickly. It's all over." Thus, after 62 years and 10 months of manifesting unflinching devotion to Sri Sri Radha Krishna in this world, Sri Varshavanavi Daitya Dasa rejoined them in the hour of their Nishanta Leela, pre-dawn pastimes, to their eternal cycle of daily activities in Raja, at the hour after their nocturnal sports. All the clocks in the mata stopped simultaneously. The steady ticking soon replaced by the wailing and crying from every corner. Some devotees were sobbing as if their hearts would break. Some were chanting feverishly with eyes flooded with tears. Some swooned, simply bowed their heads and chanted Harinam. So later on, his disciples came from different parts of Kerala and they started doing the ceremony of bathing and putting tilak on different parts of the body, taking the body of Bhaktisiddhanta, greeting the deities and then taking them around also. So on this day it is important to reflect on the way Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati took the instructions of his guru and how he was persistent in getting the mercy of his spiritual master despite being turned down several times, and how he considered himself to be very fallen in front of his guru despite having all the bodily features, scholarly aptitude, well versed in the Shastras, being born in a big, nice family, that of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He still gave up all that and he acted as a servant. He took the instructions of his guru and both Siksha and Diksha gurus, and he was able to manage them despite some apparent contradictions in them. He was able to get the essence of it and implement it. He was able to spread the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu within India by establishing 64 months and also empowering his Grihastha disciple at that time, Abhay Charan, with this crucial instruction of printing books and distributing books, which he himself led by example. So on this day it is good to reflect on all these and thereby we get the blessings of the previous acharyas. I will conclude with this quote. "He reasons ill who tells that Vaishnavas die, when thou art living still in song. The Vaishnavas die to live, and living try to spread the holy name around." Shri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki, Shri Prabhupada ki.